Good morning. Welcome back to Monday Morning Centre Back. It's been a little while. We've been busy, me and Dre, but glad to be back at an important time because we got a lot of things to talk about, Dre. Starting off with Liverpool. I mean, you got the shirt on.
Yes.
And a big announcement. I've been thinking about you over the weekend because it's a big announcement that the main man, Jurgen Klopp, is leaving. So yep. I wanted to get on here and talk to you about it. Now, were you expecting it? Were you surprised?
Well, hello everyone. We've been stupidly busy. This one here, I know it looks sad. Right, this one here, I must say this, like, I'm gonna, because Eni's been humble. Eni's been everywhere. Like, I know I've been places, but Eni's been everywhere, all over screens, you know, on different shows, different networks, and I'm extremely proud of you for the growth. And, like, you know, even though we don't get to do the show as much as we would like to, like, please know that we're not doing it because we can't be asked. It's because there's literally no time. And we are in pretty much different time zones a lot of the time, so I don't know how we would work it out. But nonetheless, we are here.
And it's always better to do this when we can be consistent, right? So, you know, it's this, the fortnightly cadence, I think, is what we're going to try as much as possible. But, you know, he's busy.
Look, their ears are going to be filled. Like, if you're looking for a meaty meal for your ears, today's the
this
day.
This is a meaty meal.
You know what? I've got all the Christmas stuff from Arsenal fans. Don't worry, I forgot about you lot. But I am sad. Well, I was devastated, I'm being honest. Like, when it comes to Klopp, we'll start with that. You know, just full disclosure, I was recording for Formula E in Saudi Arabia, and I was literally just getting in a car to do a hot lap. And for those who don't know what a hot lap is, it's like when one of the professional drivers, if not like one of the backup drivers from the team, take you in a car that's very secure, but they take you as fast as they would, as fast as possible around the track, so you get to experience what it's like around the track. Yeah, Denny, I definitely got to have you do it as well, because I think that would be a cool thing to see, like, who screams more out of me and you. But you know, that was a distraction, because normally I'm like kind of focused on staying alive effectively as best as I possibly can. If you're a control freak as a driver, you're pushing the air brake as much as you possibly can, because this guy is going, you know, 160 miles per hour, maybe 90 miles per hour around the corners, and you're like, oh my god, I could die, you know. So I just found out just before I got on in the car, and I was devastated. It felt like a punch. Like, I, you know, for those who know, obviously, for those who follow me on social media, Drace365, if you don't know, obviously, I'm always going to Arsenal because I live in London. I'm a Liverpool fan. Yes, I'm a Liverpool fan from London. Get over it. I'm ready for these lot today. So, I have got this thing with Arsenal fans. My full disclosure, my dad's a Tottenham fan. So, like, you know, the hate for Arsenal has been always real. But I can be objective as well. But it felt like a punch. It felt like,
yeah,
not that someone's died. It's like almost like someone's told you that.
I saw a lot of fans say the same.
Yeah, I can't They're even express you. It just feels like you're in love and you're planning, like, you know, the next few years. Where are we going to go on today? What we're going to do? You know, we should buy this house. And, like, your whole life is, well, at least for the foreseeable future, because we were, even though we got 2 years left in theory, we weren't really planning on it coming to a premature end. But you're just like, live in the moment, let's enjoy it. And and this season in particular, when, you know, ahead of schedule, I'd say, because obviously when you've got a midfield rebuild, then obviously it's supposed to take a bit more time, supposed to be a little bit more clunkier. But for us to come and, like, do what we're doing, it was like, this is good times. And then I was like, as you know, confident about winning this league and confident about the good times coming. Forget about everyone talking about the treble, media always doing this crap about, like, just setting people up for a foil so they can do this rubbish. I was just like, this is good. You know, we're having a good time here. And then obviously I have to understand he's tired. He's had to, you know, I think that now people getting given the respect when the media before was like trying to find sound bites to kind of mock him about, be it the weather or him talking about the referees or getting a replay or shit like that. I think that now people realize, like, wow, against this City team,
yeah,
are very much juiced up. And we know about the charges and all that other stuff, that the alleged cheating, alleged, you know, kind of dodgy stuff that was going on, from, you know, brought forward by the Prem, isn't it? For you to do that, despite having this team, this almighty Mahomet of a team, you winning the league, being the only contender, being the only person making this league interesting, hats off to him, man. Celebrate this man.
I think you're right. I think it was a bit of a sucker punch to the Premier League as well. Like, I mean, I'm not a Liverpool fan and I was gutted. Do you know what I mean? That this sort of like larger than life manager, you know, who is clearly a really good man. Do you know what I mean? Who, as you said, has brought a style of football to the Premier League that's been so fun to watch, that rock and roll style. And you know what, Dre, like, as football fans, I think we're constantly scanning for these like conspiracy theories. Oh, he must have fallen out with the owners, and oh, you know, he must have fallen out with a player, whatever. I love how human it was. Yeah. I love the fact he was just like, look, I've given 110% to this club and I'm tired. And I think there's a lesson in that for all of us. Do you know what I mean? Like, listen, we're jumping on this podcast after how long, you know, because we just go and go and go and go and go. And even you said before we came on air, like, I need a break. Do you know what I mean? And I think there's something to be said for the fact that this guy is so human and he was able to come out and say, I can't give what this club deserves. I really respect that. I mean, I think you have to respect that. And the human side of him, the vulnerability that he's shown, I think is really, really admirable, you know? And it's been 9 years, man. Like, that's an anomaly in of itself. Managers don't stay for more than 2 years.
They don't. If you last, especially at Chelsea, if you last. The thing is, I just full disclosure, I'll tell you a little story. So at that point, when it kind of settled in, like, same, just got out of the car, came out. I had to do an interview with the head, for F1 fans, the head of McLaren Racing, which is Zach Brown. And we were talking about, like, many different things. And just before we kind of had a conversation and started talking, I felt like I wanted to cry. I've never felt... I felt like...
Tired.
Yeah, like, it hadn't... Like, imagine, like, someone broke up with, like, you're in love. You're in love.
It's a breakup, yeah.
And then on screen, just before so the person texts you and says, listen, it's not going to work. We'll talk about it another time. But, like, when you come back, we'll talk about it. But I just want you to know. And you didn't see it coming. It's over. So there's nothing you can do to change my mind. Boom. And there's a long-ass message, you know, like, with reasonings and all that shit. Then they're like, all right, Eddie, you're on. You're like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Like, oh my God. Yeah. I literally, there was a clip.
I saw.
Yeah, go on.
No, I was saying, I saw, like, you know, when Sky goes outside the stadium and starts interviewing the fans.
Yeah.
They all had the same reaction you've just had, which is like, just like, devastated. Like, you know, some were in tears, like, just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
At all.
I'm in the little you know, when people go, it's probably more so girls who do this. You know when there's a breakup. So first of all, there's a breakup and then they kind of stay off of social media. Then there's the subliminal post about just life. Like, you know,
and then there's deleting,
the anger stage.
Yeah,
you can't trust men. Yeah, like, you know what? you know, never think that you could trust any man, like all that shit. And then the deletions happens. This is in order, right? Tell me if I'm wrong. then the deletions of the pictures happen. And then it's like, then the haircut and then the thought pictures come out. So I'm at the subliminal stage. I'm not out there. Too fast with this stuff with Xabi Alonso and the rest of these people. Like I'm still trying to heal.
Are you hoping that he does a Wolf of Wall Street and gives it the whole I'm not fucking leaving.
Let me tell you something now. If that was happening, it's not gonna happen though. It's not gonna happen. He ain't gonna change his mind. He's not.
He seems pretty like he's not. He's like no, I, he almost seems angry.
I don't want. Well, let me tell you this, right? Because what's the stages of what's it called? Tragedy or what's it called again? The stages.
Grief. Is the grief.
Right. I'm in grief. Then what's the stages? We've got to find out the stages of it. Like you know, if so is it?
Well, the grief stage can last quite a long time. And then you get to the sort of, I don't know what the word is, but you start sort of reminiscing, that grief, or it could be anger, then grief, and then the reminiscing stage, you know, comes later down the line.
Then I know acceptance is the last bit.
Acceptance, release.
I'm moving through these stages quite quickly, but I'm not ready to everyone to kind of just, I want to enjoy what this man has done, because let me tell you something now. This is where I move into that grief. I jump into that grief thing. I jump into the anger thing, and then I go back into grief. Let me tell you something now. Right? For all these fans that are celebrating, being like, yeah, that you know, Man United putting out a picture of a sunny day. You know, let me tell you something now.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they did. That's fine, but they're doing it they are rivals, and it's fine. Because they know how good this man is. Let me tell you something now. Let me address this now. We are going to win this league. You can click this. We are going to win the league this season because these guys have got enough motivation now because apparently the players knew at the start of the season that this is going to happen. That's why we've got this.
He said they knew in November, no? He said he spoke to the ownership in November and told them in November. This is the thing. It's like, because it was interesting hearing like when he knew that he wasn't going to be able to continue was when they started planning a pre-season tour, I think it was. And he was like future planning. And he was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to, I don't think, like he just switched off. Like he couldn't, he said he wasn't going to be able to be there in his head. And then obviously he had to be honest and say like, listen, I've got to take a sabbatical, which I think people don't really, I mean, Pep Guardiola took a sabbatical, didn't he? Just before he came to
Yes, he did. After Barca.
Was it between Bayern or was it between Barca?
No, before Bayern. After Barca.
Yeah.
And he was there for a year. Remember going to the World Cups and enjoying himself?
Yeah, managers like it's intense. Like they need because especially if you're a manager that's not going to get sacked. And I think he made a great point when he said last season was obviously pretty horrific, and we covered it quite a lot on MCB. Last season wasn't great. They're in the Europa League now, and most managers would have been sacked, right? So I don't think it takes away the fact that Jürgen Klopp would have dealt with all of that stress last season. Okay, he's not been sacked, but it's still the same amount of stress of a manager who would have been sacked.
Yeah.
He's now coming. And this is why I think it's unbelievable that he's rebuilt the team. The amazing signings, you know, brilliant sign. And I think people forget with Liverpool, it's not signings that are like, it's not necessarily like, big money Haaland type signings, even Jude Bellingham. I said to you ages ago, like I think they should have gone for Jude Bellingham, but now we're not even talking about it because they've rebuilt the team and now are now top of the league. So you just have to give him credit in the fact that even after last season and how bad it was, they're now sitting at the top of the league, and he can be like, right, I've brought the team back to the summit of the mountain. And now, like, I can hand it over to somebody else. And I do think they're going to win the league. I do. I think the Man City game's in March, isn't it? I think the next. So if they can get a result out of that, I think they drew the game earlier in the season.
Oh, they're gone.
I think that is the decider, because I can't see anyone else competing with Liverpool other than City.
Are you writing off Arsenal?
Total write off. We'll get on to yeah, I just yeah, we'll get on to that. I mean, Arsenal, this is the thing. Like, you compare Liverpool's season last season to what they did in the transfer window to now get to top. Okay, so you have to recognize, as a manager, as a sporting director, what you need to get to go to another level. It's not just about what are good players that can add to your squad. It's good players that are going to take you from second to first, in Liverpool's case, from eighth or wherever they finished to where they are now. So Liverpool obviously focused on the fact that they needed players in midfield like Gravenberch and Szoboszlai and McAllister. They've invested the money wisely, and now you've got a team that's competing again for the title. Arsenal, I actually think it was easier than Liverpool to understand what was needed, right? Arsenal a striker away from winning the league. Just a 20 to 25 goal a season striker away from winning the league. It's not even as difficult as, like, we've got to rebuild the midfield. One player. So what did they do? They go and sign Declan Rice, who I think was definitely a brilliant addition and has taken the team another level, because obviously Xhaka left. They sign Havertz, who was never, ever, ever going to be what you needed in terms of the 20 to 25 goal a season striker. Jesus scored 11 goals last season. He was never going to go from 11 to 20 to 20. I think I could have told you that. And then they signed Raya in goal, who's only just showing that he's half decent. So I'm just a bit like, it for me, it was like a massive, it was so obvious that Arsenal were not going to compete this season, or not going to win the league this season, because they never had at the start what they needed, which is a terrific striker. You
Yeah,
know?
no, but you know what? Like the thing is, like, back on clock for a minute. Don't worry. I've got a lot of fuel for Arsenal fans always. But I think that us rebuilding. I mean, we had several debates about this. Like, should we have splashed the cash on Jude Bellingham and find a way to finance that? And like, obviously, Liverpool are the owners are. We call them food at home. You got foodathome.com. They ain't doing that expensive meal. You're driving past all, like, can we get a takeaway? No, we've got good food at home. And yes, it has
Right.
been frustrating. And sometimes it has not worked. Sometimes the portions aren't there in the fridge. But this time here, it's worked.
Yeah.
We've shown that we can spend the money because we bid 100 and whatever million pound for Caicedo, but we got actual better player for 15 million with Endo. He's
Yeah.
serviced a lot. So it's almost like, all right, let me. It's almost like the ownership were like, you lot keep on moaning because it was all FSG out for a lot of fans, not all. A lot of fans were moaning, we're not spending the money, we're not doing this, we're not doing that FSG out. All right, cool, let me show you that we can do the money, we can spend it, because we've tried to cut our cloth accordingly and make sure that we're responsible, not like some other clubs. But what we're gonna bid for 100, we're gonna bid for Caicedo, show that the bid's been accepted, show that we've got the intentions to be up there, be part of the big boys. But some players are just greedy and we're not going way out of our pay structure. No, you don't want to join us? Cool, but fine. Lavia, you wanna play for Chelsea too? Fine. We're going to bid someone £15 million who's better than both of you two right here and right now. I don't care what people say or from before. Just because, and the thing about what I love about Klopp is that, and it's going to be, I'm hoping that this will continue, that these players are great players and they're not just motivated only by Klopp. I think he chooses people by their character. And like, he's not just choosing anyone and then because you're good. Like Caicedo, he's not going to try to convince you about Liverpool. As soon as he heard that you don't want to play for us, go away. Like, not interested.
I mean, Caicedo, I mean, look, as a Chelsea fan, Caicedo hasn't done much. So it's one of those blessings in disguise, probably, because I think Endo's a better player for half the money.
Right here and right now, he suits us. I'm not taking away from Caicedo. I'm not doing that thing that a lot of fans do. Just because it hasn't worked out so far means the player's shit. No, it doesn't mean that.
No, but it's a fact. He hasn't done much for Chelsea to say, wow, we missed out. He hasn't.
Yeah. He made the wrong decision. Lavia 100% made the wrong decision because he's even played for you yet. I haven't seen him in your shirt. Like, he's just
He's been injured. I want to ask you though about who you think would be the best replacement for Klopp.
Oh, look at you tearing off my scab. I ain't even healed yet. Like, you're talking to me about
going. You ain't gonna heal for a while, man. I think you've got to be just preparing for the goodbye, man. That's gonna be a lot of tears.
Any look at my beard. Look how it's grown in that time. Like, it's grown double the quickness. I didn't have a beard before.
Listen, you can't replace Klopp. So the question be, he's irreplaceable. But who do you think? I see this very much as like a new era for Liverpool, right? In the same way it was a new era for United when Ferguson left. Who do you think is best to take forward a new era? So it's not really a replacement, but do you know what I mean? Obviously, Xabi Alonso has been mentioned. Mm-hmm. I've got my own theory on this, but I'll let you answer first. Who do you think? I mean, there's Xabi that's been mentioned, obviously Gerrard's in there, although I think it's actually quite sad that no one like who is anywhere close to a Liverpool fan is suggesting Gerrard should be the first choice, which I find mind-boggling, because and it goes to show that you as a manager just accept failure too soon in your career. It can really sort of mess with the trajectory of your career. I think Gerrard's probably been a little bit impatient, where it's not worked out for him at two clubs. Well, Rangers, he was all right. I mean, he was successful at Rangers. He failed at Villa. I think it's fair to say he failed at Villa. But that's one failure in a career. And then he just gives up and just goes to Saudi Arabia, which was always going to be, you know, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it was always going to be seen as, that's a sort of money move, or it's not the best necessarily for his career.
No.
So now we're at a point where one of the greatest legends of Liverpool isn't being talked about in any way, shape or form as the best choice for Liverpool. I think that's sad.
I was never on the banging a drum of like ages ago when we was, for example, like when we had the COVID season and then Gerrard's stock was really high, he won the league and then we just had a terrible defence of our league. I remember a lot of my friends were like, oh, Gerrard should be coming in soon because Klopp is losing it. more of that again last year, not so much with Gerrard. But I just think with Gerrard, it is sad, like, that he didn't just go back to Scotland or get another opportunity in a lower league, you know, to show what he can actually do. Because, you know, he's shown that he won a league with Rangers. It's like, as much as people want to think it's an easy league, it's very competitive there. And Celtic had a stranglehold on that league for such a long time, and he broke that. I wouldn't have chosen him to be the manager just yet. I think that it would have been good for him to come in and work under Klopp or be an assistant or something for a little bit longer. I think that Xabi Alonso is the safe bet. for fans. Now, I know he's only managed for 1 year, but like, whoever, if you're a person that's nothing to do with our club and you come in and you've got no history of our club, yeah, you're going to feel that fire. The seat's hot already because people are going to be watching you and judging you. Whereas like, I think with Kazabi, like, he didn't want to leave Liverpool. He was a loyal Liverpool player. He won a European Cup with us. We came in contention with the league with him. You know, he's always spoke well about Liverpool. Apparently, there's a clause in there in his contract that if we come for him or Real Madrid come for him, this is the rumor mill that happens now. If people are adding things on, he wasn't dismissive. He wasn't dismissive of taking up the opportunity of being a Liverpool manager when he was asked last week. I think that it's good to look at different things.
Because you look at a trend in terms of superstar players, right? Lampard, Gerrard. You look at even Arteta, you could argue, didn't have a great start at Arsenal. I think he won the FA Cup quite early. But basically, former players of clubs don't always work out, right? You know?
Yeah.
Now, do you not think that it's too early for Alonso to replace, again, you can't replace Klopp, but in theory, you're jumping into a very, very hot seat with a fan base who are still heartbroken. You know what I mean? That's hard. And that's a very unique situation. Do you think it's too early?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I've just been looking at, I'm old enough to live through the boot room. And the boot room was next man up. You know, so if we go way back, so you're looking at, you know, Bob Paisley taking over, you know, from a legendary manager, you know, before him. And Bob Paisley wasn't Shankly. You know, he took over and he took over this team. And apparently, even has to deal with Bill Shankly coming to the training ground and still kind of interfering with training, even though he wasn't the manager anymore. Where I grew up supporting Liverpool was at the tail end of Bob Paisley, who was a complete different type of personality than Bill Shankly was. Like, Bob Paisley was quiet.
Yeah.
Very, very, you know, not timid, but he's a quiet guy. Just moved in silence. He wasn't like the big talker. Wasn't a big rah rah guy. But the infrastructure of that team, and the ethos of and the morals and the values of that team had already been built. So therefore, he just added to that. Obviously, back in those days, Liverpool just picked the best players. But what I'm saying is that it's just because whoever comes in next doesn't have to be a Klopp. That's already been established. You just have to not do what Graham Souness has done. Again, Kenny Dalglish wasn't the biggest talker. When I was growing up with him, like, he's like main manager, first of all, that I grew up with. And he quit, same thing, exhaustion. He's tired. It was just all of a sudden he just had enough. He couldn't deal with it anymore. And he left. You know, Liverpool at top, competing for the league. And, you know, the boot room had to take over. But they brought in Graham Souness from Rangers, who came in and was just like, all of this stuff that you guys have built up over the years, out. And Peter Beardsley, you're no longer, we're going to sell you out. You know, we're going to get rid of this player. Dean Saunders, do you know what I mean? Like, let's get all these players. It's too much too soon and you ripped apart things too quick. Right. So what you need is someone, like, I think Xabi Alonso is a very intelligent guy. You know, you need someone to come in. You need that boot room a little bit to come in. So a former player who understands the club, understands the fans, and is not going to try and rah-rah, but understands that you know, this club is a family. And it's something, obviously every club says that, but Liverpool's, to me, is different than every club. Yeah. You know, it's not like...
Every club admit that.
Yeah, it's not like... It's, you. Isn't it? it's not the same as the other people. So what you do is that you bring in someone who's can steady the ship, who has got a name. Remember as well, like, it shows I'm getting older, you know. Like, some of these players that we're looking to sign have grown up watching Xabi Alonso. You know, play for Liverpool, play for Real Madrid, play for Bayern Munich, and win in Spain, win the World Cup. Like, what hasn't Xabi Alonso won?
Yeah. No, listen, I think his TV, it speaks for itself, but you're right. I think it's more about the temperament of the person coming in after Klopp. It doesn't need to be Klopp, it needs to have the same style as Klopp, although it would make sense to sort of keep that, you know, rock and roll style. But it's more about, like you said, understanding the club, you know, engaging with the fans. I'm going to throw a name out there that I was thinking about the other day. I think somebody like Diego Simeone would be amazing as well. Now, don't know how much English he speaks, so there's obviously question marks about that. But when you look at what Diego Simeone has done at Atletico, it's very similar to what Klopp did sort of in the early stages at Liverpool, in terms of like a different style, going up against a Barcelona, you know, going up against the Roman, going up against the big guns. I mean, now Liverpool are a big gun. But I think Diego Simeone, the passion, the way he connects with players, okay, the style of play is questionable because it's quite defensive. And although I've not watched Atletico, but I'm assuming that might have changed a little bit. It's a little bit more adventurous. But do you know what I mean? That person that can take on the pressure of that kind of a Liverpool fan base, that person that's going to run down the touchlines, you know, knee slide now and again when a goal scored like Klopp did. I see that in Diego Simeone. Now, again, there might be a thousand things that make him wrong for the job, but that type of character, I think, can take Liverpool on in a way that Xabi Alonso himself might find it too much at an early stage in his career. Do you know what I mean?
The only thing is that from another point of view, you don't want the same type of thing. Again, it's the relationships. It's just the human thing. It's just like if you're dating someone, you don't want someone like your ex, like who's going to do the same thing, who's going to be like loud and, you know, all that type of stuff. Like, you want someone who's a little bit different. So I feel...
I'm not saying Simeone is the same as Klopp. I'm saying I think Simeone, for what he's done at Atletico, in a giants of the game, can cope with a Liverpool, a club that are losing someone that you can't replace.
But I see,
and so the fan base to a certain...
It's too hot. It's too hot for him straight away. Like, people, if you bring him in... I think that this is just from what I've seen. You know, you've got someone there who can relate to players, who is taking it to a giant. Like, remember, in Germany, like, it's pretty much Bayern's league, and he's taking it to them. Like, he could possibly win the league.
Yeah.
You know, and they haven't done that, I don't know how long. You know, Leverkusen has not been popular since I've seen them in the Champions League final when Zidane scored that volley from a corner. That's like when they had Michael Ballack. Like, that's the last time I heard of them being popular in any form of way. So therefore, I think you've got someone who follows the same type of temperament, who's used to competing against the big boys. Look, until this whole thing with City is kind of sorted and the landscape of stuff is kind of evened out a lot more, like, you're going to be in that same situation when you're going to be fighting against a behemoth. There's no other team that I'm even concerned about at all. And I literally am showing the gesture of being dismissive, because to every club, that's what you ain't it. And this is what I did about, and it's not just a proper Arsenal. But I did say this before when everyone was just like nonsensical analysis on TV from all different channels, being like putting Arsenal's favourites to win the league. I think Gary Neville did that. Nonsense. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're living a prison at the moment. Look at where everything was. You know, if City pretty much gave everyone a head start, we were rubbish. Manchester United continue to be rubbish. Chelsea were rubbish again. Like, and so therefore, like, there's that Leicester lucky ticket opportunity to win, and right. They didn't. I'm not, again, I'll get to Arsenal in a minute, but it does not mean, just again, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to use that clip that I did in at the start of the season. Just because you finished second does not mean that you're a contender. It does not mean that you were in a title challenge. A title challenge is what we do, is what we have done to the last game.
Last day.
Like, if you have not been involved in that, and Man United fans can know what that's like, we know what that's like. Older Arsenal fans know what that's like, because it's been such a long time since they won. They've been actually contending for the league, not this delusion now. Like, that last week, like, come on, let's do this. Let's be honourable to the actual competition.
Well, Arsenal are 8 points worse off than last season already.
Yeah.
They've lost the last three games. They beat, obviously, Palace 5-0 the other week, but before that win, they'd lost against West Ham, Fulham, and then obviously got knocked out by Liverpool in the FA Cup. I don't think they've gone backwards really from last season. I mean, they're third now, I think 5 points off Liverpool.
Yeah, but I think it's the media's fault. I do think, honestly, obviously I know you're part of the media, and to a lesser point, so am I. But I do think it's the media's fault, where, like, we're so desperate for a new champion, for someone else to be holding that trophy, that any person would just, like,
just
throw them in there. We want a new champion?
Well, I've said it many times that I'm bored of seeing Man City win. Like, as much as I respect them, I'm bored of seeing the same team win. And I don't think it's good for the Premier League for the same team to keep winning. We take the piss out of, you know, the French league. We respect the Bundesliga, but the Bundesliga is exactly the same. Bayern win every year. I want another team to win. I just don't think people analyse what it takes to win. And ultimately, I said it. I remember saying it on TalkSport when everybody was taking the piss out of me. The same day I was talking about Declan Rice, I said, Kai Havertz not going to be what Arsenal need to go to another level. I said it. I'm a Chelsea fan. I watched Kai Havertz. I like the guy. He seems like a nice guy. He's obviously scored in the Champions League final, but he scored 7 goals last season. So why would he? And I know that he's not, sort of, he wasn't signed as a striker, but I could have told you before the season started that Arsenal have not signed anyone to take them from second to first. You only need to look at, you know, 20 years of data over Premier League. You have to have somebody who scores 20 to 25 goals a season.
Yep.
It's just a data point that's just a given, right? Or you have a combination of forwards who score at least 15 goals each, like Liverpool do with Salah and Jota. And so you have to have goals in your team, and they just don't seem like they've actually gone out and signed. Osimhen has been telling the world for months that he wants to leave. The guy's saying, call me, like, slide into my DMs. Like, he is making it so blatantly obvious that he wants to come to the Premier League. So why Arsenal have not signed him, or not tried to sign him, I don't know. I mean, I think the buyout clause now for Osimhen is 115 million or something.
But honestly, Annie, this is what I'm saying. I don't mean to undercut you, but then this is the type of nonsense that goes around the English media. And I'm not going to be dismissive of him, because he seems like a really nice guy. I've bumped into him before. And, like, you're putting Ivan Toney in 100 million. Like, you're putting Declan Rice in 100 million. Like, these players aren't that level. And yes, Neymar and Mbappe.
I agree with you, but the market takes that, Dre. I agree with you.
That.
Like, if you and I were going to objectively value these players, we would never get to 100 million. But the reality is, if West Ham want 100 million for Declan Rice and Arsenal really want him, that's what they're going to have to pay. Do
And that value,
you know what I
what I'm
mean?
saying, like, you don't, what the players can actually do is, we don't do that. Like, we've spent the money on,
No, I get that. And that's where Liverpool are smart in terms of they're never going to be, you know, even if it's a Jude Bellingham, you're not paying what you don't feel you should pay. And that's the strategy from Liverpool. But what I'm saying for Arsenal, unfortunately for Arsenal, it's very, very obvious what they need to win the league. They are, for me, from my perspective, they are a prolific striker away from winning the league. In the same way, when Haaland came, Manchester City blew everyone out of the water. Like, you know, I was a striker. I know that can be the difference for most teams, right? Even teams at the bottom half of the league who have a striker. You know, you see now with Forest, with Chris Wood scoring goals. And do you know what I mean? Like, with Villa, with Ollie Watkins, like, it helps a lot. So, but unfortunately, in today's market, if you want a striker that's scoring 20 to 25 goals, you're going to have to be ready to pay 105 million, 100 million,
I
minimum.
think it's a shame though, because what it does is
Or.
when you're a certain age, maybe it's my age, when you're a certain age, you hit 100 million, you better be special. That can't be just the going rate. Like, I know we got away with one with Coutinho, but Coutinho at that point in time, in that little capsule, he was
Yeah, he was
special.
great at that point.
In that capsule, in that time, it's a shame what's happened after, because I still would, the soft part of me would love to have Coutinho back. I know a lot of Liverpool fans won't have that, but I think that with Arsenal,
Where is he?
he's a Saudi or something like that. Yeah, he's there. I know, but sorry, I've just come back from there. I'm being disrespectful to the league already. The problem with Arsenal, I think Arsenal to me are a bit further away than you think. I think that Martinelli had a great season and people have that hot season. I don't see you anymore. I think Saka is completely overrated. I'm not saying he's rubbish in any form of way. You can be very good.
What?
Yeah, he's not world
No,
class.
come on,
No.
man.
Let let's
No,
let's let's
come
let's clear this up now, right? At the start of this season, I was hearing this nonsense, and you know who you are, one of my friends in media, saying about putting him up against Salah. Like, the disrespect that comes from some people in
on.
this league.
I wouldn't say that's disrespectful. I just think that's a bit of a reach. Was he an Arsenal fan?
It is the Arsenal platform. The
Yeah,
disrespect coming
that's a
from,
bit of a
it's not a bit of
that's a
a
bit of
reach,
a
Eddie.
reach.
That's that is reaching like the toilet is nowhere near reaching. That is ass
Nah,
outreaching.
come on.
There's no way you can put
Yeah, I mean,
him in the
yeah, you
same
can't
block as a
compare the two.
Hall of Famer. He to tell it is easy top solidified top 10 best players in the Premier League's history.
I mean, it
In
is.
the,
No, I agree with you. I
do you
agree
get
with
what I
that,
mean?
but I don't think I think Saka can become Salah in years to come. He can. All Saka's got to do is get the numbers, get the consistency of numbers that Salah. But in terms of ability, of course,
One trick pony. One trick pony. He's a one trick pony. Here's it,
what
here's
is
what
it?
it is, right? I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you because I'm still looking for Saka being out of Joe Gomez's pocket. Yeah, still can't find this dude at all. You could do that stuff against
I
the
think
lesser
you're
team.
being a bit harsh.
Do something now, as they're gonna find out. Was it this Sunday, isn't it? This Sunday coming up. And yet again, you're gonna be looking for Saka. Get your torchlights out because you ain't gonna be able to see him again. He's going to be in Joe Gomez's pocket again because he's a one-trick pony. He can only do the same thing, which is go in on the left. All right, cool. Let's get a right-sided defender to block that stuff. What happened then? Where's the last time you seen him do something?
Look, I think as a winger, and I realize when you have an amazing season, that which Saka did last year, you can't deny that,
Yeah,
it is
one season.
harder because you're saying one trick pony, but as a winger, you either are that good one on one, you know, where your Ronaldo levels, where 9 times out of 10 you're beating your defender. Or you've got to start changing your positions, coming in field, asking more questions of defenders, because what happens with Saka, and I've watched a lot of games, he gets doubled up on because of his reputation. And that's hard when you're doubled up as a winger. It is harder. Like, you are going to lose the ball more. You are going to have less successful dribbles. Like, you just are, because teams know about you more. They set up against you. So
Okay.
when I watch, I just think he can be more, a little bit more creative in terms of his positioning. He gets the ball, he receives it in very similar positions, and it's quite predictable. Can you come in field, play as a second centre forward, be a midfielder? But I don't know whether Arteta wants that, whether he just wants structure. So I
Wait.
see that with Saka. The second
You're not moving.
season, his reputation goes before him, and he's getting marked out of games, or he gets it and then passes his back. But it's like he's got to be a little bit more unpredictable, I think is the word. But that
Mainly,
doesn't,
they play him every game.
I think that goes for any winger.
They play him for every single game. There's not a squad there. If you've got true squad depth, you've got what we got. See them little kids we're playing? Like, look, we've just unearthed another, Connor Bradley. Looked like he'd been playing in this Premier League for years. Kwanzaa looks like he's been playing in this league for years. Like, you haven't got that. You haven't got the squad. Like, and for all the Liverpool fans who were moaning about strength and depth, I ain't hearing that talk now. Like, they're all moaning that, oh, we should be buying this. We should be stacked. Well, now you are. You're stacked. We're stacked. Look at
Very
that bench that
cool.
it is. Look at what we got. And look what who just come back. And I was like, oh, they're back already. We didn't miss them, miss a beat with Trent and Szoboszlai coming back. Let me tell you something now. This is why I think we're winning the league, because we've got strength and depth. We can compete with City. You've seen that already, and we've just added some more
Yeah.
people, like
No,
you
I think
signing
that was.
with Bradley. Like, my Lord, that means Trent can play in midfield if chosen a lot more. Like, come on now. I think
Yeah,
personally that
I
what
think
we
that was
do
true.
is with Arsenal, and I'm not having, I feel like a bad, because Saka seems like a really nice guy. He is
He is.
played too much, one, too much expectations and hyped up too much, two. And this is the problem with that is that I don't have sympathy for you, because you think that Salah's not, double, triple marked, and he still gets some numbers. I don't hear no excuses. If we're talking about you're one of the
I
elite
don't think,
players,
yeah.
if you're going to put,
I
look at
think,
Bernardo
yeah.
Silva. Look, let's look at players that are on the same side of him. If you're going to talk about top four players, right? So you're looking at Bernardo Silva. Does he not do, like, this guy scores regularly, all the time.
Yeah.
One trick pony. You can't
No,
mark him
but
out of the.
what I'm saying is, I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying Saka needs to do a little bit more of what Salah does. Like, Salah, for example, look at the amount of times when he gets the ball on the wing, he plays it one touch to the forward, and he comes in field, and then it's bang. He has a shot left foot, right? It's not sort of touch, 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 try and beat a player, then come back out. He's very dynamic when it comes around the box. And then sometimes you see him pop up as a centre forward. How many times have you seen Saka pop up as a centre forward? Not a lot. For
Yeah, but
me,
then
when I used
that's on
to, for
that's
me,
on
sometimes
Arteta.
I would just go and roam as a centre forward, just so that the fullback would be like, "Where's she going? Like, what?" You just sort of like
You know
it
where you're
plays
gonna
with
be.
defenders a little bit more.
Joe Gomez don't have to look around. Or now you've got Robertson back. God, good luck. Good luck for the rest of you lot. Good luck. Because you've got Robertson back now as well. Like, you ain't doing nothing. And I'm telling you, I can just say this early now. And I'll clip this bit here. Saka's not going to do nothing against Liverpool at all. So you better find someone else to do it. You've got a steady midfield of people that's without Endo. You've got McAllister. You've got Szoboszlai back. You think that Declan Rice can compete with these lot? Like,
No,
come
I
on.
agree with you.
Like, we
I'm
hype
just
these
talking
players up
about
too
Saka really.
much. But because there's two players from Arsenal, if we're just talking about Arsenal, that are England players, then that's why they get hyped up too much. If there were foreign players, then people would be
But
dismissive of them.
do you not think the hype is fair based on Saka's season last season? I mean, come on, Dre, he had a great season.
That's fine, but realise at the start of this season that he ain't going to have that season and he's not performing to that level, so therefore you move him down a tier. But what we're doing is we're hoping, because he plays for England, that he's still that player and we still give him this blight. If it was any other player, like, what's that Villa right winger? If it was like, you know, I forgot his name now, the one from Jamaica, I forgot his name. If it was him and he weren't playing...
Oh, Bailey.
Yeah, if it was Bailey or someone like that, like... You're playing at that level. Like, you know, Bailey's in and out of the team. He performs sometimes not. Like, this level, you're not one of the top level performers. Top level, top tier players, like Bernardo Silva, play at that level all the time. You're always a threat. I don't see him being a threat. Martinelli is toothless this season. I'm not saying hopefully he comes back, because I actually enjoy watching him.
Martinelli and Trossard are, like, competing for that left wing spot.
But Trossard should be playing.
Yeah, I think Martinelli's a better player. I mean, he came on against Palace and scored two. You know, I think he's a better Palace player than Trossard. But look, I think Arsenal have struggled to play against the teams who respect them enough to go, we'll let you have it. Mm. Like, they can't play against low block teams. So they end up having, I think the West Ham game was like 75 possession and 750 passes or something like that. And they lost the game. Mm-hmm. And then they go and beat Palace with less possession because they play on the counter-attack. So I think that's where Arsenal and Arteta, frankly, needs to understand to have different sort of styles of play in his back pocket to beat teams, because you can't do what you did last season and think it's going to be... you're going to have success. I mean, it's already proven that they've gone backwards, but they're in the race at least. But I can't see.
Yeah, but then if they're in the race, then Tottenham are in the race, and if they're in the race, and then Villa are in the race, and it's like, realistically, if I ask you if Villa's going to win it, no, you know, they should be competing for top four, and that's very possible. If I ask you if Tottenham are in it, not really. Tottenham's aim and objective is to get top four. So Arsenal are not only,
let's talk about Spurs, because they started so well. Like, I genuinely was like, wow, this could be a title race. Because remember, I think they started the first 10 games was unbeaten. Yeah. And then they got, Madison got injured. But it's a bit weird for Spurs, because they're out of the FA Cup now, obviously lost mm-hmm. to City this weekend. It's like, what is success for Spurs?
Top four. That's it. Mm. Top four. You can't, like, once a new manager comes in, it's the same thing with Xabi. I'm not, if Xabi Alonso comes in, then I'm not expecting him to be contending for the league immediately. Like, all right, cool. Just make sure we're in the mix around, you know, for the title. Because obviously heavy favourites are always going to be City, because they can spend what they want and there's no repercussions. Now but Tottenham have started off playing very well. They've had a ridiculous amount of injuries. I think for them to still be within touching distance of Arsenal, I'll have to bring up the title, the thing, because I don't know whether they've played the same amount of games. But the last I saw before Arsenal played the last game, that they were 1 point off. At the time it might be 4 points at the moment, but obviously they're 1 point off Arsenal at the time. So I'll have a look at for people who are listening at a time of recording. Then they have played. Oh, sorry. So they have played. Come on, bloody thing. Yeah. So Tottenham right now points are 3 points off of Arsenal. Same year. So there's only three. There's only one. So 3 points off of Villa, and Villa and Arsenal have got the same amount of points. Man City have got the same amount of points. But there's a levels to this, and I think Tottenham are competing with Villa for that top four spot, or maybe they could get third. But I think that people shouldn't put on too much. Villa deserve to. Those three teams are competing for third or fourth spot.
Yeah, I think Villa should look at what Newcastle did last season and be able to achieve top four. That would be incredible. And obviously Villa are also in the Conference League. They could go on and win that as well. So let's talk about the drop, because these points deduction for Everton, obviously 10 points deducted. Forest now look like they might get a points deduction. Who do you see like staying up, going down?
See, the problem is, like, from a competitive point of view, you've got, and this is where the murky waters happen, because I think that they've, so catch me up on this. They've taken away the points from Everton already, and then if Everton are gonna
Yeah,
appeal
so
back on.
obviously the sort of the FFP rules are that you can't lose 105 million over 3 seasons. Everton have already been punished, I believe, for the last 2 seasons for 10 points. So that was the 10 points deduction earlier in the season. I think it was November. Now, for they've had another deduction, I believe, for the next phase of the next 3 years, if that makes sense.
All right.
And Forest the same, but it's slightly different charges because Forest were late, I think, to sell Johnson, who's gone to Spurs. Brendan Johnson, yeah. So they're slightly different charges in comparison. Everton's charges over 3 years, where I think Forest is in relation to just this period, from what I understand. So they're different charges, which might lead to different points deductions, right? Now, I think it will be incredibly harsh to give Everton another 10-point deduction
Yeah, because
when you've,
they'll be relegating in.
yeah, it just seems, without knowing all the facts and the analysis of it just seems very, very harsh. But then equally, because you've already set a precedent of 10-point deduction, do you have to give Forest a 10-point deduction, even though it's a different type of charge? So it's just really murky. And then everyone goes, well, what's happening with City? And it's like, well, you're right. What is happening with City? Like, I don't understand why the public can't know when when there's going to be the case hearing. Like, we don't know anything. Like, it's
The
just a
problem
bizarre.
is, so to cut you, I think that the problem is, Annie, is that I think that I can talk about other sports. So, for example, like NFL, if a player bets on a game, then NFL are so quick to even to get rid of the stench of match fixing or anything like that. And this is all alleged, so we don't get sued.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah, we have to keep on saying that all the time because people are very litigious lately. I think that if you want to get rid of the fear of there being any form of corruption, then I think you need to act on it quick. And I don't feel that the Premier League are acting on it quickly enough. Like, so give these lot the same treatment that you give Tottenham,
Right.
sorry, Forest and Everton,
Forest and
where
Everton.
take away the points first, and then you can put it on. You can add them on or whatever it is,
Yeah,
you
well,
know?
a lot. Yeah, well, a lot of what I keep reading is that, well, it's over multiple seasons with City, and they're denying the charges and all of that. But Everton denied the charges as well, and Everton are
Nah,
appealing as
take the
well.
points from them. You're just like, whatever. You concentrate on it. Concentrate on City, first of all, because the
That's what I'm
whole.
saying. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I think, like, look, City will be using the best lawyers, possible lawyers you can think of. Like, let's just accept that that's a given. That the lawyers, and I know if you got a good lawyer, you got a good chance, even if it's what is being alleged is pretty bad, which it is. It's 115 charges. So the lawyers have done a good job to delay, 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 delay. But the problem is, within that delay, you're now punishing other teams. So it brings more attention to the delay. So I'm not even saying like, give them points deductions or whatever, because there'll be loads of different complications and reasons why. I'm saying be transparent enough to tell the public and football fans Don't worry, we've set a date. They're going to have their day in court or whatever, or in front of a panel, in independent commission, whatever it is. Like, be transparent with that. The Premier League should be more transparent with that and say, this is the date. These are the things, these are the charges that we're going to be discussing. Like, because otherwise, it just looks really shifty. It looks as if they're just kicking it down the road.
That with as well, like if we're gonna go full in this the conspiracy theory pool, if you've got that and you've got VAR taking points and taking goals off of their rivals, so us with Spurs, it's happened with Arsenal as well, if I'm being fair. Like all of the people that are competing are losing points, getting goals taken away, so forth, wrong decisions, penalties not given, all those types of things. And it looks, if we allegedly, if there is any form of like wrongdoing, then it looks like it's corrupt. It doesn't look to me like it just looks dodgy. And I think if you are like
Yeah,
NFL,
it definitely looks
very
that way.
quick,
It definitely
if you
looks
are
that way.
very quick to get rid of that even the thought that people may have that. So if a player bets on football, then you're banned
Yeah.
for a whole 2 seasons or a season at minimum. Because they don't want it there to be
I mean,
looking
look how
any.
quickly they punished Ivan Toney. Look how quickly Tonali was punished. Like, I don't really see. There are rules in football around match fixing, around, corruption, accounting, and all of that. And it's all part of the same rule framework. So the fact that other actors and other parties are being punished, but this City thing just has no information whatsoever.
No.
It's not a good look. And I say this from a place of like wanting the Premier League, being a big fan of the Premier League. And wanting the Premier League to retain its status as the best brand and best league in the world, but it's not a good look. And ultimately, I think, people would respect it more if they were just open about the process a little bit more. Because the Premier League don't have any obligation to City to not talk about the process and not say, well, no, this is the day that everybody needs to know. Is you're going to be held to account. And listen, if you're going to clear your name, good on you. But we need to know, like, particularly because other teams are getting punished. I just find that bit a little bit odd. And look, I think from City's point of view, to your point, if you are innocent, you should be doing everything you can to put information out there to say you're innocent. Like, that's just natural. So it's going to be interesting to see, but in terms of going back.
Any people don't like, just sorry, I know we're moving on from this. The problem is that this has to come from also the fans. And do you remember a little while ago when the Liverpool goal was disallowed wrongly by VAR, and all fans want to do is banter. That's what we do in this country, is just banter. Ah! I'll cry on and all that stuff until it happens to your team and then you're crying. So you ain't getting no
Yeah.
sympathy for me at all. So some teams it's happened to, I hope you get relegated. Good. And I'll put cry on to you. Because
You're
the thing is
bitter
that
today.
I've got time today. Now, the thing is that fans of the game should unify, because at the end of the day, not many people is there's a I would say if they had a vote today to get rid of VAR, I would say that at least 80%, I'd be shocked if 80% of fans are like, get rid of it now, because you lot ain't using it properly. It's not working at all. I think fans should also have that same energy for this corruption in theory. If people are going down that line, and there's many, many chats online where people automatically say, see, it's corrupt, it's corrupt. Many big YouTubers, football content creators who say it's corrupt. So if you feel that, fans should unify against that to be like, this is the product that we put our money into. This is a product that we love. So therefore, we're not going to sign with the television companies. We're not going to sign subscriptions. We're not going to pay for merchandise. We're not going to do anything at all until we know that this is fair. And for me, City aren't big enough of a team, just from an outsider's point of view. You do your math. City have not ever been a team that's big. Yeah, because obviously they've got their glorious neighbours beside them who've been winning stuff for forever. You know, you haven't got that fan base to be able to be spending 100. I remember they spent £150 million just on the left backs and right backs. Like, you can't do that. So for me, I ask you a question. This might be our little bit of hot take. Get us in trouble. Get us a buzz. Do you take seriously? Because I don't, I'm putting it out there. Anything that City win because of those allegations that the Premier League have put out, I do not, like, Pep can win anything he wants, but because it looks like you've cheated, I'm not taking it seriously.
Well, the sort of allegations of cheating are historical, right? So just the team we're watching now, I don't think we should assume that any alleged cheating has gone on with the current team that we're watching now, right? But because City have won five Premier Leagues in six, obviously over the years, they've been able to accumulate players. Now, I don't know where it would have started and when it would have stopped, but I don't think the current team is a product of any of that alleged.
The club
benefited, yeah. But as a player, you know, City have lost games. You know what I mean? Like, City haven't won absolutely everything. So I think it's difficult to say I can't take them seriously because the players go out on the pitch and you beat the team in front of you and they do it very well. What I am saying is that I think the punishment now for City has to be 10 times more drastic as the punishment for Everton because you've set a precedent. So it has to be at least relegation. It almost has to be at least relegation because they've said 10 points is the worst ever deduction in the Premier League. You can't get worse than that. So if Everton is based on a 3-year cycle, 115 charges, what does that mean? Do you get what I'm saying? So I think that, if this is going to be proven correct, which UEFA have come out and said, well, we back our charge, then, it's going to at least be, I imagine it's going to at least be relegation, at least.
I'm being honest, I don't take what they do seriously, even up to this date, because the thing is that...
There's an asterisk next to it, of course.
Yeah, and if you're a player, if you don't care, like, if you have got ethics and morals and you care about, like, our league that we won, people can talk, it's only stupid rival fans who just want to just be like, oh, it's because of COVID you won. We won it way before COVID, happened.
Yeah.
We dominated that time, and then we were the only, again, I'm going to say it again, we were the only competitors, people actually, taking it to a City that has been completely doped up financially. So I feel personally that I don't want the trophies. I don't want it to add on to Liverpool's league, and I think a lot of Liverpool fans would actually say the same thing. But I do want there to be a concentration on City in particular. Forget about Everton and all of that. Let them wait. You concentrate on this and bring this forward. Have the trial. Have it sorted out. And it goes one way or another. But the problem is that the more this is dangled around and you're soft-footing around City, it looks dodge. So unless there's... I can't take seriously, and this is where Pep's legacy is on the line here. I don't take it seriously because you've had an infrastructure of wrongdoings, as the Premier League alleges to, for such a long time. So therefore, it's become easier for you to be able to come and buy this player, replace your keeper. You pay big money for a keeper, you buy another one. Instead, like, other teams can't buy keepers for 50, 60 million pounds at that point. Right. Other teams can't buy, pay Haaland whatever wages you're paying him, because it's going to be triple the amount that Salah's going to be getting. Other teams can't buy midfielders and stuff like that. I know that they've been like kind of...
I hear you.
But you've had a lot of players who've been bought, so I can't take them seriously.
So In terms of the drop, what are you thinking? I mean, I was reading that it's going to be 35 to 40 points to stay up. So even with a points deduction, if you get 35 to 40 points on the current points per game, you can still stay, the likes of Forest and Everton can still stay up. So I think they've got enough both clubs to still stay up. And I don't think it's going to be another 10 points for either. I think it might be maybe 5 points deduction. So I
Wait, what,
reckon.
the city or
No, I'm talking about for Forest and Everton now.
okay, for fresh air. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, in terms of the drop, even if they get, let's say they get 5 point deduction, if they
Okay.
can hit 35 points based on their points per game now, then I think they'll still stay up. That's kind of the numbers have been crunched, and that's kind of
Yeah.
the.
I think they've done enough to stay up, but I think that if I'm just looking at it now, Sheffield United just down already.
Down,
Burnley are
yeah.
rubbish. Luton putting up a little bit of a fight, and the only hope they've got is obviously because of what's happening with Everton and Forest. Palace have been completely disappointing again, like just going nowhere under Hodgson. So therefore, like I think that the same energy, I don't understand why they've fired and just didn't stick with Vieira. Because I don't really see the change. They were playing actually better football under Vieira, and they could have actually given him a bit more time. I think that people are too quick to fire these managers and hope for what? Like, are you just looking to stay up?
Yeah.
Like, if you, yeah, I'm very sure that Vieira could
Palace
have
is a
done that.
weird one.
Because
Palace is a
Vieira was
weird one.
actually bringing new players in
Yeah.
who actually had
Yeah.
they had a style of football. It was exciting. Obviously, it always didn't work, but like it wasn't this. This is like there's not a time when Palace fans were booing Vieira. Like this is just terrible football. Hodgson. I mean, obviously, we had the experience of him. If it wasn't for him, then I wouldn't be into NFL because I just could not watch the football that he was actually making my team play, and he's doing the same. The same thing. So thank you, Roy Hodgson. Because of
Yeah.
you, I'm going to the Super Bowl. Because had it not been for you, I would not have been able to just make it so unbearable to watch my team play that I had to watch NFL. So thank you for
Well,
that. To show you that.
they definitely haven't kicked on since Sackenberg. I mean, they're a bit of a upturn after Vieira last season, towards the end of the season, but they've not kicked on. I mean, I always thought, God bless him, I think Roy Hodgson's obviously a great servant of the game, but I always thought it was a bit odd anyway that he was brought back in. But it looks like they could probably get someone like Graham Potter, who I think is a good would be a good replacement. Just before we go, Dre, top four predictions.
All right, top four predictions right now.
Yeah, top four predictions. I missed it at the beginning.
Top four predictions at the moment. Let me take any tribalism off. I'm going to look. I would say that it will be, I'm favouring us to win a league. Obviously, I'm being tribal here. Us or City, either or. Then I would say third will be Arsenal. Fourth will be Tottenham, but there's not going to be much in it. I don't think Villa have got enough in it. From what I've just seen of Villa, there's something missing. I think they're one season away, a couple of additions away from actually being seriously competitive for the league, or sorry for Champions League spots. I think they've peaked early, but then I've been impressed with them.
Yeah.
But I think people
Yeah,
better
I'm
look
thinking.
out for West Ham as well. Like
Yeah.
West Ham are
West,
decent.
yeah, they get decent results. I think West Ham are beating Spurs, beating Arsenal. Yeah, they've got some good results this season. I think the top four is going to be Liverpool to win, with all the sort of added motivation of sending Klopp off in a good
See, I knew
way.
Annie loves Liverpool. She does.
City will be. I think City will be second, Arsenal third, and I do think Villa will get top four. I think Villa, going forward, have actually more than what Newcastle had last season when they got top
Newcastle,
four. So, I think Ollie Watkins.
my lord.
Say that again.
Newcastle being a disappointment. My lord, they've been a disappointment.
Yeah, but they've had mad injuries, like a lot of injuries. Like, their injury list is ridiculous. But yeah, defense. I did the FA Cup game at the weekend, and like they won, but defensively they're just not the same as they were last year. Like they defensively were very, very good last year. I think maybe they overachieved last season anyway. Maybe, what we're seeing is kind of their level. But I really like Isak up front, man. I think like
Very good
talking
player.
about strikers earlier, he's someone that Arsenal should be looking at as well. Isak, he's got everything. So yeah, last little bit, Dre, I wanted to the reckless talk
Yes.
section. So I want to ask you a question about as a male football fan in this country. I want to ask you, why do you think male football fans are so triggered by women broadcasters? I genuinely want to get your take on this because I don't understand it. There's been a lot of hate towards me and other female broadcasters, which, listen, criticism, is something that I seek out debate. I love debate. I love a good debate. I like to sharpen my own views by debate. I like to have intelligent analysis, even if I'm wrong. I want someone to tell me you're wrong because X, yeah. But if I could tell you, like, that doesn't exist. It just doesn't even exist. Like, and I want to have that with fans. I don't necessarily always want to have that with like people I work with who, have their own views, whatever. I want to actually have that with fans. I want to have that level of engagement with fans where it's like, that was a stupid take because of X, Y, Z. Not that was a stupid take because you're black and you're only there because you're black and you're a woman. Like that's not criticism. That's and honestly, 99.9% of what I see and the messages people send me are all about you're only there because you're black. You're only there because you're tick box. It's like, forget that. That's got nothing to. You think I'm wrong? Why? So I'm genuinely losing an understanding of why in 2024 fans, male fans who think women don't know what they're talking about. Okay, well, tell me why you don't think I know what I'm talking about. Like, and it's just this triggering, like it's just I don't really understand it, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can, because I cover different sports, I can be honest with you. Like, I think that there's a and this is just not just a England, fans of the English Premier League or just England fans in general or English fans in general. I think there's always, to me, I can only talk about my own personal experiences, is that there's always a hint of racism. That's why in my social medias, I block everyone. You cannot, just so you lot know, so you don't waste your time and some of your meaningless
Sure.
life. You can find something else to do with your time. Paint that wall that you're clearly not looking at, or whatever you want to do. I block people. It's for your benefit, not for mine. It's because the end of the day is that when you come out of, like, I too enjoy, debates, conversations about football, any sports whatsoever, and I enjoy someone else coming out with a counter. If everyone's just sitting there nodding at me and agreeing with what I say,
Exactly.
life is boring. So I enjoy that.
Exactly. But like,
But you lose me as soon as you, I feel
completely lose your
that
argument.
you are, like, in football, obviously they're a bit more blatant about it. They'll say, you're only there because you're black. In F1, they say diversity hire. So they've got
Yeah, it's the
a
same
different
thing, yeah.
Arsenal fan. They just word it differently. A little bit race, a little bit more civilized, but just as racist. You have, NFL fans who are from, if I talk about, like, NFL UK, some of the NFL UK fans that I've had experiences with, it's always there on the periphery. NFL UK, nothing to do with this whatsoever, but NFL UK fans that support NFL, I should say, just to clear it up, who are football, also Premier League fans, they bring that
Right.
tribalism, almost
That
racism,
tribalism, yeah.
to it. And what they want to do is get you. They're not interested in having a conversation. They're interested in just getting you. And to me, I can't, what am I supposed to do with it? If you start off a conversation with, by calling me a dickhead or...
Yeah, you can't have a, you can't have a conversation with that type of person.
Black,
you know, you just
or call. Listen, you, whatever. Like, I don't really understand what, you know, what am I going to do? Reply to that? So therefore, that's why I don't engage with these people, because I'm just not really interested in their point of view. Again, you and I don't agree on a lot of things, but we are able to have a conversation about... And like, you know, you would, me and you were going to argue about Declan Rice for forever. Me and you could argue about Jack Grealish forever. You know, like all of these things. And at the end of the day, we move on and we are accepting of each other's opinions. Whereas I think the tribalism that comes from English fans, what you're looking for of intelligent engagement is not going to happen. I don't have any faith in them at all, because it's always led with racism, unfortunately, that you're not supposed to be there. What do you know? Because you're black, well, first, and then some of your white female colleagues will get, because you're a woman, what do you know? And like, I forgot her name. You know, I forget a lot of the pundits. There's so many of them now. Sue, who has got short hair.
Sue.
Mate, she is, let me take out like somebody obvious, because if I pick you up, then people are going to say, just because you're my mate. So, you know, Sue is amazing. And I hope you see this. So every single time that you talk sense, you talk more sense than the majority of people in there. You should be in the highest level of platform for everything you do. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I would love to hear you.
She's
and her
great on co-coms as well.
Like, every single thing, there's a few other people that are on there, but I you know, I don't say you're great because you're a woman. You're great. You're just great. Do you get
that's
me?
The thing, it's like the skill set is the skill set. Do you know what I mean? Like, the skill set to be a pundit has nothing to do with your gender. It's your ability to communicate, your ability to summarize, your ability to analyze, your ability to debate. How do you articulate things? And like, that's it. Like, and then obviously playing the game and understanding the game and being in certain situations and being able to say, oh, I know what it feels like to play at Wembley, or I know what it feels like to play in the Champions League, whether it's men or women, doesn't matter. That the pressure of the situation, as a human being, you can speak to that, right? So it's a skill set. It's a set of skills. Yeah. And, you know, there's a sliding scale of who's good at that and who isn't. Now, I'm not, you know, I've never sat here and said I'm the best, but ultimately, I want to be judged on my skill set and my ability to analyze and speak and communicate and all of those things. And it just seems like that it's just, men are just so triggered by women being able to do something that they can't do. And maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Like, maybe the expectation in of itself is wrong. Because what you've just said summarizes it in terms of like, don't expect it from English football fans.
No,
at all. And actually, if you don't expect it, it's not something that you even give the time of day. You know, it's just disappointing in 2024 that we're still dealing with people, you know, that are coming out saying women shouldn't have no place in the game. And, you know, all these, there should be more Anglo-Saxon white people. It's like, wow, this racism is like so blatant.
They see in their soul. They get angry as soon as they see you on the screen. Well, let me tell you something. Yeah. Get ready to be angry, because you're going to see her more on all channels, all over
Listen,
the Euros, all over the World Cups, all over the Prem. You know, you're not stopping this. You might as well just choose something else to get angry with your miserable life.
Yeah, just switch channel, because, man.
Because
I'm not.
Because you can't get through to me. I really don't. I'm not interested in your. And he's nicer than me. Like, I'm just protecting you, because like, there's no limit that I won't go to. Let's just make it clear that I'm not going to fire back at. So therefore, so I can carry on working in this career, I'm protecting myself as well, because I know that I'm purely Croydon, and I will come back, you know, shouting you back. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no. Accept that women are going to be on the screens. I don't understand stupid fool men who can't accept it. So, black people are going to be on there, because these are the same people that you cheer for. Well, don't cheer when we score then. Do you get me?
Exactly.
Don't cheer. Don't, if a black person scores and you're, if you've got a problem with a black pundit, don't cheer when we score for your team. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't. But you can't, that's what I'm saying. Like, you try to understand these people. I don't. I'm not interested in your opinion.
Right.
So I think that for your own sanity, don't try to understand them, because you know what's opinion is matters? The people that book you. And let me tell you lot this.
Yeah.
And he is booked.
Booked.
Left, right, and center. So therefore, accept it.
Booked, busy, and blessed.
Be angry. Booked and blessed. Let's leave and you're gonna and you Let's you carry on being angry, because that's exactly what's gonna carry on.
Booked, busy, and blessed. Amen to that, man. Dre, I love you,
stopping.
Man.
You're right. You can be angry. Right. And if to the UK NFL fans, now you give me a little thing to now you put a little battery in my back. To the UK NFL fans that don't like people like me being on your screens or getting opportunities, you're going to be real mad at the Super Bowl, because you're going to have to watch me there.
How can you be an NFL fan and be mad at Dre? Like, that's the thing. Like, it must be 90% of NFL is black. Like,
oh, well, if I was them, I'd hate me too, because I'm winning.
Dre, I've really enjoyed it, man. I really enjoyed this. Thank
big
you.
Love, big love. Let's we continue what we do. But
always. Yeah, let's keep playing. Like, let's keep going, keep inspiring, keep doing our thing, man. That's all it's about.
Booked and blessed.
Booked. Nah, it's booked. BBB. Booked, busy, and blessed.
Ooh, I like that. That's a new hashtag.
Book, busy, and blessed. Hashtag, new hashtag for all the haters.
We will catch you guys next time. Like, honestly, I always have a great time speaking to any. You've got a bumper issue to listen to in your cars or your headsets or whatever you're doing. If you're just angry at your chip shop or eating your full fry up, being angry at women being on TV. Well, you know, we'll be back soon. With another edition.
We'll try it. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's either going to be 2 weeks or next month. So either going to be once a month or bi-weekly.
We've got
to figure
wait.
Out the cadence. But either way, it was great to be back on.
Liverpool's season could be completely derailed by that point. And I could be even where I am now, or I could be humbled completely.
I think you're gonna win the league. I think we're gonna have a happy Dre by the end of the season, and we will be recording.
Not heartbroken.
The journey. You're in the grief journey now, as you said. Let's see by the end of the season whether there'll be acceptance and happiness by the end of the
Let's
season.
Let's do it. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for listening to us. We'll see you next time. Peace.